On Capitol Hill today, the congressional panel investigating steroid use in Major League Baseball is playing host to an all-star lineup. Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, Curt Schilling, and Sammy Sosa have all taken the hot seat. Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig and Players Union President Don Fear still wait in the bullpen. Major League Baseball reached an agreement with the union to change its drug testing rules in January, but former slugger Jose Canseco's tell-all book with its allegations of widespread performance enhancer use in the sport reopened the issue and delivered the congressional hot seat. In this segment, we want to hear from fans. If you think the congressional hearings will shame baseball into cleaning up its act, or is government going too far? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. And we'll be speaking with Baseball America's Alan Schwartz in just a few minutes. But first, let's hear a couple of excerpts from the hearings themselves. The session opened this morning with a statement from Republican Senator and Baseball Hall of Famer Jim Bunning.
Since the beginning of this scandal, I have said that baseball should get the chance to clean up its own mess and government should stay out of the way. With the new steroid testing policy, it looks like baseball has taken a first baby step toward restoring honesty to the game. But if they backslide or don't follow through, then the owners and players need to know that we can and will act.
Senator Bunning, later in his testimony, described the punishments prescribed in baseball's drug testing program as puny. The congressional committee also heard today from parents whose children committed suicide after using steroids. Here's an excerpt of the testimony of Donald Hooten, Sr., responding to a question from Representative Candace Miller of Michigan about how his son Taylor got a hold of steroids.
It was Taylor with his psychiatrist that told his psychiatrist that the reason he got started was because of the advice the coach had given him to get bigger. Now, I want to make, in this particular case, no inference, because I don't know that the coach had steroids in mind. Rather, what I would like us to all learn from this is that that's the reason I think our coaches need to be trained and certified, because this particular coach hasn't been trained in how to show this kid how to get on a diet or exercise program to show him how to gain 20 pounds. And you turn a 16-year-old kid loose with an objective of trying to gain 20 pounds when he's got half of his teammates doing steroids, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what path he's going to take if left to his own devices.
After the parents' testimony, in came the players. Jose Canseco gave his opening statement first and was reluctant to go under oath on the allegations that he made in his book. Other players on the panel made several critical references to the book itself. Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling was especially damning.
I hope the committee recognizes the danger of possibly glorifying the so-called author scheduled to testify today or by indirectly assisting him to sell more books through his claim that what he was doing is somehow good for this country or the game of baseball. A book which devotes hundreds of pages to glorifying steroid usage and which contends that steroid usage is justified and will be the norm in the country in several years is a disgrace, was written irresponsibly, and sends exactly the opposite message that needs to be sent to kids.
Schilling went on to accuse what he called the so-called author of profiting at the expense of professional players and young aspiring athletes, and then he switched gears to defend baseball's current steroid testing program.
I hope that a result of this hearing, There is a better awareness of the steroid program recently implemented by Major League Baseball and its Players Association. That program, though certainly not perfect, and I dare say there is no such thing as a perfect testing program, is a substantial step in the right direction that appears from initial statistics to be having the desired effect. That is removing steroids from the game of baseball.
Joining us now from the studios of MSNBC in Secaucus, New Jersey, is Alan Schwartz, senior writer for Baseball America and author of The Numbers Game. Alan, always nice to have you on the program.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Neil.
As we mentioned, the hearings have not ended. We're still in the middle of the players panel, and Bud Selig and Don Fear have yet to appear. What's your reaction thus far?
Well, so far, we've really just had a lot of window dressing. We've had a lot of opening remarks and self-serving remarks, frankly, by the panel. And then lots of talk by the doctors and by the parents of these two kids who committed suicide after having taken steroids. And then we've had the opening remarks by the players. I mean, the real fireworks are about to begin.
One thing a lot of people asked when this hearing was announced is what good could possibly come from this? Well, one thing that we have learned is that the agreement we thought baseball had with its players is not the agreement that baseball has with its players.
Well, there is some dispute, and I don't want to sound like I'm apologizing for them, but I would be loath to characterize it as some huge chasm between the two sides or between our understanding of it and what it would be. They insist that the language that has remained, what you're referring to, let me just back up for a second, is that there's some question as to whether the first offense will bring a 10-day suspension and public identification, which was what they announced on January 13th, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Or now there is apparently an indication that it might bring, give the commissioner the latitude to impose only an anonymous fine.
Up to $10,000. In other words, it could be a dollar.
That's true. But each side insists that its understanding was that the commissioner would always take the route of 10-day suspension and then public identification. Now,
a cynic would say, then why is the word or in there?
Right, exactly. They have no business leaving that in there, and it's a joke that they did, and it's just a public embarrassment, and makes it all look like the substance of the policy is incredibly flimsy. I don't think it is. It's a terrible PR move on their part, and for the union to suggest that, you know, this is okay, I guarantee you that if the standard player contract said that the commissioner did have the discretion to, like, not pay the players, they wouldn't allow that to go through. They would say, look, you can't have that in there because someday it might be used against us. Well, you know what then? Why did you leave the language of this in there? It was incredibly irresponsible and dangerous to the good message I do think they have a chance to give here.
And it should point out that or clause is still in there after the fourth violation of the agreement, though the penalties do escalate. Though, again, it's up to, it could still be a dollar and could still be anonymous. Another point, there is a clause in this agreement which says any independent inquiry, outside inquiry, into use of steroids in baseball, and this agreement is suspended.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with the fact that when the players agreed to the drug testing policies set forth in the 2002 basic agreement that covered the 2003 and 2004 seasons, it would be that the tests were anonymous and we'd be kept anonymous. That was the deal that they made privately. Well, the government came in and seized the samples and now have a means by which to identify players publicly. The players feel incredibly burned by this. And so I think that this has a lot to do with that. I can't get into, you know, necessarily the exact rationale.
Well,
I know that they feel very burned by it, and they want to be protected from Congress getting involved and the government getting involved in what is supposed to be an anonymous thing.
And this, they say, is covered by the collective bargaining agreement. Just to play devil's advocate for a minute, some lawyers in Congress representing the committee might say that this is there's no labor law that sanctions a conspiracy to obstruct justice. So that's the other side of it.
Certainly not. But then again, you know, one has to question whether Congress really has the business of interfering here with the collective bargaining process in a private industry. I'm not advocating one way or the other, but it's certainly understandable for baseball to wonder, why are you going after baseball as a private industry as opposed to others?
And that was a point that has been raised in the committee hearings thus far. And one thing the congressmen say is that this is only the beginning, and they may come up with a law that they say we should have maybe the Olympic standard, which is much tougher, and apply that to all professional sports.
Well, they could do that, but I mean, then you're legislating a whole class, you know, against a whole class of people differently than you and me. I mean, are senators drug tested? I don't know the answer to that question, but I certainly would like to know. There are a lot of us. I'm not drug tested. Why am I not drug tested? Why do baseball players have to be drug tested when the Fourth Amendment, you know, says that Congress shall make no law, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now Congress is saying they're going to make a law which might be an unreasonable search and seizure. Now, again, these are things for constitutional lawyers and for people far beyond my level of expertise. But there are a lot of sides to this issue. It's very easy, okay, for us to hear about situations like the parents have related to us, sad situations, awful situations, and say steroids are bad, they should be ridden from the game. It's very easy to say that, but it's very difficult to then take all the other considerations and have some sort of testing procedure by which you can punish those who do commit the crime. We don't have, you know, we don't drug test normal citizens, you know, in case they've taken cocaine. You have to have just cause. You don't just test people.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that's in the agreement with the Players Union and Major League Baseball is that among the banned substances is human growth hormone, yet they don't do blood testing. They only do urine testing, and you can't find human growth hormone unless you do blood testing.
Right. And so, I mean, look, they're never going – the testing procedure will never keep up with the device, the devising of new substances. It's never going to happen. And right now, there is no urine test that will test for human growth hormone. When there is, they will use it, but there isn't for now. And so, yeah, it's a sort of a toothless remark to say, yes, we've banned human growth hormone, but there's no way to test for it. But, you know, there are limits to which
there is a way to test for it, a blood test.
Yes, there's a blood test. But, I mean, there's a whole separate issue there, the dangers of blood tests. And I mean, again, I'm not shilling for the union here. But, we could give them a blood test. Yeah, we could break into their homes and check their medicine cabinets every night, too. I mean, there is a line which, when you cross, you've gone further into their private lives than you're supposed to by the Constitution. And so, you know, or by just simply the collective bargaining power of the two sides. I mean, this is something that goes beyond, simply saying that steroids give the wrong message to kids. Of course they do. But, you know, all these people saying, you know, I've heard parents, frankly, saying that, you know, they should test high school athletes because, you know, they want to know what's happening with their kids. Well, you know what? Why don't, when they bring them to the doctor, when they pee into a cup, say, doctor, my son's 16, please test this for steroids. I mean, why haven't we discussed that? Because people want to put it on baseball players to make the message for them, which I understand is a complement to other things. But as a replacement, I don't think it's going to work.
Alan Schwartz is a senior writer for Baseball America and a columnist for the New York Times sports section on Sundays. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Alan joins us, this one from Minneapolis.
Hey there.
Hey.
I was a training partner for somebody training for the decathlon for the Olympics in Atlanta in 95 and 96. We stayed in Atlanta, and so I'd meet, you know, a triple jumper from Jamaica or a pole vaulter from Poland or wherever, and pretty much across the board. I mean, I was pretty naive at the time, but pretty much across the board, everybody said you need three things to be in the top of the Olympics. A good athlete, a good financier, and a good chemist.
And a good chemist.
And I recall at the time they gave a first-year chemistry student a whole lab full of stuff and gave him some contraband and said, you know, make it legal. And in 15 minutes, they make a drug that's not legal by adding something to it that makes it not that drug anymore, but still has effect.
Mm-hmm. And Alan is talking about Olympic athletes, and again, the standard for Olympic games is much higher than anything in American professional sports, and certainly in baseball.
And that has a lot to do with the fact that the Olympic athletes are not particularly well represented as a class. Major League Baseball's Players Association is arguably certainly the most powerful union in sports, and has been called the most powerful union in United States history. And they are able to keep things from happening to their members that their members don't want to see happen better than anybody else. Now, at this point, the reason that we have a drug testing policy in baseball is in large part due to the fact that players were so fed up, the clean players were so fed up with being lumped into, this group of steroid-taking, you know, nitwits, that they said, we want a testing policy to prove our innocence. That's why we are where we are now, and that's why they improved it 2 months ago.
Thanks for the call, Alan.
Thank you.
Let's go now to Steve, and Steve is calling from Bend, Oregon.
Hello. My comment is that in my current occupation as a commercial pilot, and in previous occupations I've had as an outdoor recreation professional, the companies I've worked for and the government have asked that I am clean and drug-free, and working in that industry, I simply accepted that and was happy to, produce those results in order to work in the industry. And I am a great fan of baseball, and I would hope all baseball players embrace that the same way as I did. If you want to play the game, you come clean.
Steve, flying planes, this is a federally regulated industry, and presumably the testing is for safety.
Exactly right. I can't argue with that.
And ball players, as far as I know, they're not going to hurt anybody if they fall down on the way to first base.
You have a good point. I think what I'm saying is that I don't think that drug testing would in any way impair the industry, and it certainly has improved the industries I've worked in.
All right, Steve. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Carol. Carol's calling from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, thanks. I just think there's been so much steroid abuse for over 40 years that I don't understand why any of the sports don't start policing themselves better. And I find it really ironical that they're asking the government, you know, everybody votes for less government, especially lately, why they then want the government to start cleaning it up.
Although, trust me, baseball is not asking the government to be involved here.
Somebody's asking the government, or Congress.
The government is sticking its nose into what had been a reasonably private matter. I mean, it's a public-private matter because people watch baseball and hear about it, but I assure you that it's government that is deciding it has to be involved because it likes looking like it's involved.
Yeah, yet, Alan and Carol, thank you very much for the call. We have to leave on this point, and again, the fireworks in this hearing are going to be coming up later today. But if the agreement, a lot of people criticize this agreement for being cosmetic. Now, based on what we've seen of the agreement, more cosmetic than even we believed. If these hearings have done no more than expose that, isn't going to promote further change to this agreement?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these hearings do have a good side to them. Of course they do. It's raising public awareness. It is raising the issue of, hey, is the policy what they said it was going to be 2 months ago? There is good to come out of this. But then again, it's a little bit of a means to the end thing. I think we have to look at the process as well as we evaluate the results.
Alan Schwartz, as always, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Alan Schwartz, author of The Numbers Game, joining us from MSNBC studios in Secaucus, New Jersey. He's also a senior writer for Baseball America. Tomorrow, Ira will be here with Science Friday. We'll see you Monday. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News. Ha ha ha.